I want you to look at the screen for a minute, and I want you to stop and pause, and I want to ask you about a special moment, or plural, special moments you've had in your life. Will you do that just for a minute? Some special moments that you've experienced in your life. Well, you know, while I'm up here and you're sitting there, let me tell you just a few of mine. Number one would be when Tina asked me to marry her. Oh, I'm sorry, I got that reversed. I mean, and you know, that was a really special moment in our life, and a lot of you know about our courtship. We were engaged 1 week. And the reason why is afraid she's going to say no. We waited longer than a week. So, and then, you know, a year or so later comes our first daughter. And what an experience to go into that labor delivery room and to see that child born. Man, I love that. She didn't like it a whole lot. I really enjoyed that. And then, you know, a few years later to have, you know, Jenny Lynn come onto the scene and, never mind. And then a few years after that, Caden, you know, what an incredible blessing, you know, Caden has been in our lives. You know, yesterday, Summer called us and Caden's playing basketball and she said, guess what? They scored 34 points and Caden scored 20 of them. Wow. Takes after his granddaddy. I know you don't believe that one. I don't believe it either. But special moments in our life. You know, that's all physical. Let me tell you the most special moment of my life. You ready for this? Got your seatbelt on? January 28th, 1973 in St. Louis, Missouri. You know what happened? That's right. Became a New Testament Christian in St. Louis, Missouri. That was and has been the pinnacle of my life. And really, if you look at our text in Acts 26 and verse 18, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was talking about took place in his life. He says, you know what? I went from darkness to light. I went from being unforgiven to being forgiven. I went from being a sinner to a saint. And I want us to think about for a few minutes this morning, you know, what happens and what happened in that special moment. Well, I'm going to suggest to you there are two haunting words that I hope do not resonate in your head any at all today. And those two haunting words are number one, almost. And I've seen this in people's lives all over the United States and in different countries. And it's this word right here, almost. That's Acts 26:28. Where King Agrippa said to Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost. Sometimes we sing a song, almost, but lost. How haunting is the concept and the idea of almost. And then number two, what about this one? In Matthew 7 and verse 23. Where Jesus said this, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Depart. I mean, at the great white throne judgment, when we stand on our own merits, our own accords, as individuals, to hear that word, depart. What I want to do this morning is give us six things that are going to tell us what happens in that special moment. But before I give you those six things, and we'll look at two, maybe a little more in depth, and the other four I'll just mention to you. Before we do that, I want you to know a little bit about the process of salvation. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, there are two verses that tell us that salvation is a gift from God. And the gift is the unwrapping of the package of the personhood and the life of Jesus Christ. And understanding that Jesus is the gift. And by grace, God gives us this gift. And God says, I want you to be active in this gift and not passive. I want you to be active in this gift. And when you read Romans 10, 9 and 10, he says, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then in Acts 2 and verse 38, he says, repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And on the screen, you really have the process of salvation. We respond to the great grace of God with an active faith that says, I'm going to confess the name of Jesus, and I'm going to be willing to repent and be immersed. Now, why is that so special? I give you six reasons. The first two we'll spend a little time on. What happens at that special moment? Well, number one, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. We die and we are resurrected. I wish this morning that we could just camp out here on this entire passage, Romans 6, 1 through 11. And if we did, I want to tell you what we would find. We would find the word death and dies and died 13 times. Three different Greek words that are used in this context to tell us exactly what's on the screen. At the moment of conversion, we literally die to that old person. And that's why I've suggested to you and told you many times that children have a tremendous curiosity to come up here, and they just peer over this. And, you know, we have a little protection here because of how dangerous it is if a small child falls in there. So we've got some protection here. But when we have small children come up here and peer over, one of the things we tell them is this, without trying to scare them, there've been a lot of deaths back there. That's where people are dying to their old self. You see that all through Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Let me just give you an example of one. How about looking at maybe verse 7 in Romans chapter 6? And notice the terminology here. He who has died, the old man, the old person, has been freed from sin. So what happens in that process? You're seeing a person die to that old person, that old man, those old habits, those old desires, those old interests. You're seeing that transpire and take place when a person is immersed because they're reaching the blood of Jesus. So 13 times with three different words out of the original language, he talks about death, dies, and died. That's what's happening in that special moment. Number two, let me suggest to you that, as Carrie read just a couple of moments ago, we become new. We become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone, man, woman, boy, or girl, red, yellow, black, and white, rich, poor, great, small, independent, whatever. If anyone, the invitation is universal. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone dies and becomes a New Testament Christian, if anyone is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. Watch this. Old things are passed away. There was a group this week that went to Glendale. It was the senior group that went. Now there were 35 of us that went, and 34 said to me, why did you go? Because you're not a senior. I said, I'm not. But somebody had to look after you old people. You know. And so I went on the trip. It was at Glendale, and here we were. We were going to these antique shops, and we were going here to eat, and you know, I wanted to eat. I didn't care about the antique shops. But anyway, a lot of people were in there, and they were going from place to place. And oh, Eddie Windham, I love old Eddie. He said, my. I went into an antique shop, and the only thing I found was LW. Sorry about your luck, Eddie. But notice what he says in that passage. Those old things, those old habits, those old desires, those old wants, those old things, they're fading away. And we are becoming new. What a wonderful thought. I was just thinking there a few moments ago, sitting on the front seat trying to get this message to just flow, and I was thinking about an 82-year-old lady earlier in Stanford, Kentucky, back in April, that we immersed, and Shorty was her nickname, and she was short. Shorty was new at 82. Wow. That's the meaning of what happens at that special moment. Well, there's a third thing that happens. We're added to the church. When you go to Acts chapter 2 and you read about the birthday of the church and you look at this passage, and here's simply what it says. And they are the ones back in verse 38. And they were being added to the church daily, those who were being saved by the blood of Jesus. All right, that's Acts 2 and verse 47. So what happens at that special moment? Not only did Shorty become a New Testament Christian in April, but she was also added to that body of believers in that town in Lincoln County. Number four, what happens? We become part of a family. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, he talks about we being many are one body. I don't know how many times I've heard that just from people in this room who go through a trial, a tribulation, a separation, a death experience, a surgery. I don't know how many times I've heard this. And Tommy, I don't know how many times you've said this. What do people do who don't have a local church family to support them during their difficult days and difficult times and difficult experiences? What do people do? Well, I can tell you what some people do. Because I've been there. They say, Brother Tom, would you mind hanging around here a little bit? We need somebody to say a prayer for this family. They don't have a minister. Well, would you mind coming down here to the cemetery? We're having a graveside service here, and they don't have any family. And I mean church family. To be with them and support them and encourage them. And would you say a few words and a prayer so we can give that body a proper burial? At that moment, you instantaneously become part of a family of believers. Number five, we become disciples. You know, Chris mentioned an outstanding verse in Acts 20 and verse 7 where the disciples were called Christians first at a place called Antioch in Acts 11 and verse 26 in your Bibles. Disciples are those who follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what 1 Timothy 6:15 says. What happens at that special moment? We become followers or disciples of Jesus. He is our role model. Jesus is the one we look at. Don't ever try to find a role model down here because they'll disappoint you. Now, it's okay to have some mentors, all that kind of good stuff, but I'm telling you, we're going to disappoint each other because we're weak, we're sinful, we falter and we fail frequently. But I promise you, if you start looking up, you will never be disappointed if you look at Jesus. Can I get an amen? And then number six. I love this one. We make new reservations. Some of you may have reservations for this week at a place. Did you know that when we become a Christian, we're not thinking about some spot here. We're thinking about one of those rooms there. And isn't that what Jesus said? Watch this. John 14, 1 through 3. Watch this in your Bibles. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Watch this. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now, some of your Bibles say mansions. The original language says rooms. There are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Watch it. I go to prepare a place for you, heaven, that where I am, heaven, there you may be also. And then Thomas, he asked a question. Lord, how can we know the way? Watch John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so it is these six things that transpire at that moment, that special moment in our lives. Now, here's the reality. And this is where it's hard. Because here's the reality. Got your seatbelt on? We're going to close in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. I want you to turn there because this is gut check time. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. This is the reality. It would be nice to be able to sugarcoat. You know, it would be nice to be able to say that everybody's going to make it. That'd be nice on the surface. But you know, we wouldn't be fair to God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit or the written record. And here's the reality. And to give you who are troubled to rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, what's going to happen? He's going to come in a flame of fire, taking vengeance. Watch this. On those who do not obey God, who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that? These who do not, in verse 8, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, the stark reality is that we need to make sure that special moment occurs in our life. We need to make sure that we are among those who are redeemed. We need to make sure that we are those who have our calling and election sure. We need to make sure that we've done exactly what God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit have told us that we need to do in order to have those reservations made in that place that we call heaven. Have you made your reservation? Have you experienced that special moment? Look into your heart. Understand that you will stand as an individual before God. And today, more than ever before, I suggest to us, be ready. And as we sing our song this morning, if you're not ready, make those preparations now. John, let's stand and sing.